listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
We're back. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. The Browns moving on from offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan and quarterbacks coach Dowell Loggins. That's the big news today. You guys are reacting to it all day long alongside Matt Wilhelm. I'm Nathan Zagur. We've got Bruce on a cell. What's up, Bruce? Bruce?
Hello?
Yeah, Bruce, go ahead, Bruce. We got you.
All right.
Tony in North Ridgeville.
All right, yeah, this is Tony.
Hey, Tony.
How you guys doing today?
Good, man.
How are you?
Not too bad, man. I just think you could actually write a book about Brian Hoyer, and you could call it Hoyer's Hurdles. And what he had to go through this year, I mean, think about it. He had Johnny Football looking over his shoulder. He was throwing to 5'8" receivers. He had new coaches, a whole new complex system, rookie running backs hitting the wall, Alex Mack going down, Billy Cundiff, an ACL injury, Josh Gordon. I mean, you could literally write a book on it. And still, he played solid. You know, there was a time where, you know, he didn't look so good in the season. They brought in Manziel, and I understood that. But you've got to really look at this and put a couple weapons around him. And I think, you know, you got to kind of go with Hoyer and just to bridge the gap.
You know, you may be right in saying that. And I think, you know, nothing has been reported thus far from either the Browns or Brian Hoyer and his agent about this topic. And I believe, you know, at this point right now with no offensive coordinator, it's kind of, I think the Cleveland Browns would be open to bringing Brian Hoyer back. And that is not simply because he's from Cleveland and he went to St. Ignatius and that whole story. That has come and gone. I believe the fact that he will be, you know, one of the top free agent quarterbacks in a down year for a free agent quarterback. And if the Cleveland Browns can get him back, you know, at the right price that fits his level of play and also to the ceiling that we've talked about, Nathan, I think it's not a foregone conclusion that he could possibly be back because he brings consistency. He is not a game breaker. He, in most cases, will not lead you to a Super Bowl. And if that's all okay with this dog pound and the Cleveland fan base, then you might in fact see Brian Hoyer here. But based on his comments throughout the football season, in the face of that adversity, Brian Hoyer has said adamantly that he wants to be the starter wherever he goes and does not want to. And as we saw, his play went backwards when he consistently had to look over his shoulder at anybody. And in this case, it's Johnny Manziel.
That's right. And listen, you want to hope that you can do better, as we talked about. Even we had somebody who called and praised Brian Hoyer, and I said, where does he rank in the 32 starting quarterbacks? The bottom 25%. You need to upgrade that position. Can he be here as the backup? That's fine. And a
sure.
spot starter, sure. But I think you need to find somebody to be the starter. And right now, it's not Johnny Manziel. Hopefully, he can develop into that. But right now, he's not the guy. Let's try our guy Mike in Youngstown now. What's up, Mike?
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. You sound like Nathan.
He does.
Yeah, going on five weeks now. I got to start out with Go Bucks.
Yeah, Go Bucks. O-H-I-O. That's right.
Hey, one thing. For the first time, and like I told you, I listen every day, and you guys sound a little bit down. And normally you guys don't sound down, but, you know, you being Browns, you know, covering the Browns and having a Browns show, it's depressing. What's the definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Correct.
Well, I think we could change that. I think we could put it officially in the dictionary as the Cleveland Browns.
Well, you might be right. Go ahead.
And then the other thing is, I would love to see the names that I'm hearing out there. I really believe Trestman can do a good job. What do you guys think?
I think he could, too. Very smart guy. He's a noted quarterback whisperer, very effective with quarterbacks. He will incorporate the running backs into the passing game for sure. I like Trestman. I think he would be good. I don't know how the organization feels about that. Jeremy Fowler from ESPN saying that he has heard Trestman's name come up and Trestman would be open to it. So, yes, that's a good, strong name, and I think he is a good offensive mind.
You know, Nathan, you bring up a great point, and I talked to this actually, prior to jumping on air with the gentleman about, Mark Trestman's name. And you look at Matt Forte, and yes, Matt Forte has a unique skill to catch the ball out of the backfield, but Matt Forte had over 100 receptions by himself. And I believe that all Cleveland running backs, toppled the charts with 32 combined between Tate, West, Crowell, as well as Ray Agnew. So that is something, if in fact we do have young talent at that position, that a Mark Trestman would bring. And also, too, I think it's a great safety net to have for whoever is that quarterback, as opposed to expecting Johnny Manziel and light it up and, as you say, make those intermediate throws and throw those occasional deep balls. The pressure can be taken off to give him easy throws in that short range, those intermediate throws. Take our shot still, but have that safety net in a running back who can catch the ball out of the backfield, which moves the chains. And as we continue to look into the playoffs, which is the football that we're, really tuned into besides the college football playoff, is all of the quarterbacks, or most of the quarterbacks, do that very well. Justin Forsett, you look at Eddie Lacy and James Starks in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers will dump it down. Tony Romo, DeMarco Murray had 60-plus catches. So they're very comfortable doing that, and it is because they are very tenured in reading a defense and taking what it can give you, as opposed to always feeling as if you have to make the down-the-field throw.
Well, and right, and it just opens up things. It's a way to be able to beat edge rushers as well, just leak somebody out on their side. So I think it opens a lot of things up. Trestman, I certainly think, is a name that you may hear about going forward for the Browns. We'll see. I think a lot of people, that's been on Twitter, that's been the first one that has certainly popped up, at least, and has popped up the most. Mike in Cleveland.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad. Hey, really enjoy the show. I appreciate the insight, and you guys allow callers to make their points. You guys do a really good job.
Thank you very much.
Listen, I just wanted to kind of talk to you today. What transpired today with the Browns, it brought to mind, one of the things that was going around last year at the time that, Haslam fired Chudzinski. There was that notion that, this is a franchise that, nobody wants to come to, either player or coach, because of all the uncertainty. But, when you see things happen today, with yet another, well, I guess two coaches gone, and the situation regarding clearly players who are troubling to this franchise, and nothing's been done about that. Do you think Mr. Haslam might just understand or see why people might have that perception that, oh, I'm not going to come to Cleveland, it's just too unstable?
Yeah, you make a great point, and I think what you may have to do, and I think as a former player who didn't really have a chance to dabble in a free agent market, so I'm coming from a player perspective, I believe a city like Cleveland, or a team like Cleveland that is not necessarily on the right track yet, that is a not so much the best economy or the greatest place to live, you'll have to pay a little bit more to bring those free agents and lure them to Cleveland to be a part of the Cleveland Browns franchise and organization. And you may, in fact, have to do that for a coach as well. But I think well beyond just the quarterback situation or the past, that has been here, the carousel that has been here, I think that Mike Pettine is locked in and has done a great job in his rookie year as a head football coach. You have a general manager in their first year that is creating and very definitive in his plan for this organization. And as I said, this is something that a Mark Trestman or a coach can come with if we hire a former offensive coordinator and use it as a platform to continue to convey that they are relevant, that he is in fact a quarterback whisperer, that he can lead a top 15 offense in the National Football League, and in 2 to 3 years with success here in Cleveland, use this platform to go get a better offensive coordinator job somewhere, or in fact be in the calling for any head coaching jobs at that time that become available.
No question about it. Let's go to Jay now in Cleveland. What's up, Jay?
Hey, what's going on, fella?
Good, man. How are you?
How are you?
Oh, man, I love the show. I love when the show come on, man.
Thank you.
Where's my thing? I just got a couple points. I'm going to try to make it real quick. Okay, as far as the quarterback situation with Johnny Manziel, it's a lot that he has to work on as far as in pocket presence, as far as in becoming a better passer as well. His legs, his speed in the NFL is not the same. It's not effective as it was in college. And that's what made him a big-time quarterback. He was able to throw the ball, and he was able to move and run around. So when you subtract those legs, because, I mean, I don't know, he's maybe just a tad bit faster than Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's not super fast anymore as far as in quarterback speed. Now you're looking at a 5'11 quarterback who's going to have to learn to throw above the offensive line and the defensive line and still make accurate throws. And I never thought that Johnny Manziel was a great passer to begin with. So as far as in, you know, investing time into him and trying to see what he can do, I mean, we didn't even give Colt McCoy that much time, and he didn't have as good as weapons as what Johnny Manziel has right now on offense. So I think now is the time to move on, man, and try to get an offensive coordinator who, you know, who's not going to run that Pat Shurmur offense. We got to try to stay away from the, you know, the little dinky throws and stuff like that as well. So, you know, just, you know, I just want your take on that and what you guys think.
I think you're right about that, and I think you made reference to Aaron Rodgers and his speed. And the one thing that came into my mind, having seen him both in person playing, you know, in Green Bay with him as the Super Bowl leading quarterback, but also staying in tune to the Green Bay Packers on what an offensive show they put on. You know what makes Aaron Rodgers so fast, if you want to be comparable, is the fact that he can throw the ball accurately with velocity. Both in and Nathan, as you talk about it, those intermediate passing is where he is best. And if you just looked, you know, tune into ESPN.com, they did a special on Aaron Rodgers on his ability to throw the ball down the field. So, and yep. when you can do that accurately, you have open lanes. When Aaron Rodgers he's not really even all that fast. He's a good athlete, but when there is a constant threat of weapons like Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb and Andrew Corliss and, you know, JaMychal Finley, who he had years ago, when you have that constant threat of how great Aaron Rodgers is in and out of the pocket, he looks fast because there's no defender in sight. So you must develop, Johnny Manziel must develop his arm strength and as a passer first, and then Johnny Manziel's speed, which is better than Aaron Rodgers, will become a factor. But until then, it's definitely not, as we have seen.
It is not. All right, we will wrap things up here on a newsworthy edition. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, right after this.